Now, I heard that the well is the place to be. And you know why I know it's the place to be? Because, see, I normally get to speak on Sunday mornings. And Sunday morning is a time where a lot of people just believe you're supposed to come to church. You're supposed to give God some time. It's the Sabbath. We're supposed to keep it holy. I should go to church. I mean, it's been 7 days. I should go back. But when you show up on a Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., that means you came expecting something from God today. Amen? So do I have any women in here that are excited about what God wants to do in their lives today? I'm excited to be here. I want to say thank you, Kelly. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this opportunity. I want to say happy Black History Month to everybody. Hey. I'm always excited about that too. But when I received the invitation to come here to speak at the well, Venus, you don't even know. What you just did was a confirmation for what I'm doing here right now. God showed me a vision about the well last night when I was about to get ready for this. And to come to the well, you realize that the woman that Jesus spoke to, she left her pot at the well and went and changed the whole city. And I believe that I am in a room full of women that are ready to take back Kenosha for Jesus. I believe I'm in a room of women who are ready to take Beach Park back for Jesus, who are willing to take Burlington back for Jesus and Mount Pleasant and whatever rooms or spaces you go in. I believe I'm in the right space where the women of God are ready to stand up and be counted. All right, so let me pull up some stuff. Let's do what I am here to do. I was told I am the first solo man to come speak to you all. I'm going to do my best not to be the last. The goal is to stay within my time, to stay out of trouble, because Kelly will tell me, which I have always appreciated. Can we just give God a hand for your leader that you have here, for what has been built, for the team, for everybody that plays a role in this? This is beautiful. It is totally beautiful. Now, one of the most stressful times of my wife and my life, where irritation was running rampant, I was looking at her like, what are you doing? And she asked me that all the time anyway, so I didn't know if it was just that day or if this was a normal occurrence. But we were trying to figure out what we were going to name our daughter. She had been pregnant for a good 6-7 months. We had been fighting over names. And the stuff that I was coming with, she would just look at me and shake her head. And some of the stuff she told me, I'm like, I ain't calling my child that. I know somebody with that name. You ever decide not to name a name because you know somebody? You're like, they can't end up like so-and-so. We're not doing that. But there was a level of frustration in it because of how important we believe names are. When we look at names, we believe that it was important because in our mind, this name is going to be something that every time we call her, we are speaking this over her life. Every time I say her name, I'm calling out what I believe to be true, what I believe is going to be represented, what I believe is going to be deposited, what I believe her future is going to look like. So this was stressful. I can't just name her anything. And what I found out is that even in Jewish culture, back in, you know, historically, they always place great emphasis on naming their children. For in that lay the history and the past of the family. And as I was reading about this, they had the hopes and the blessings for the newborn's life to come, they believe was in the naming of the child. And I believe that there are things that even God, who is, he loves to name people. There's stories in the Bible, one of which we're going to talk about today, where God enjoys, if he didn't name you, when he gets a hold of you, he will rename you. Because what your name was isn't what your future will be. And I need to begin calling you, and everyone else around you needs to begin speaking this into your life every time they say your name. So I want to dive into some scripture here, and this is going to be in Genesis chapter 17, starting in verse 1. And many of you may have heard this story, but it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord spoke to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life, and I will make a covenant by which I guarantee to give you countless descendants. Now, this was huge for Abram because at 99 years old, he had not had a child. One of the richest men living at that time, all of his belongings were going to go to one of his servants, which in that time would have been almost depressing to him. I have all of this and I have no one to carry on my name, my lineage. It's all going to go to someone else. And it says in this word that Abram fell face down on the ground, and God said to him, "This is my covenant with you. Make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations." Skipping down to verse 15, it says, "Then God said to Abraham, regarding Sarai, your wife, her name will be Sarah. And I will bless her and give you a son from her. And I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants." Then Abraham, see, name change already, bowed low to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. "How could I become the father at an age of 100, he thought. "And how could Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? Skipping down to verse 19, but God replied, "No, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant." And my topic for today, which is a question that only you can answer, is what will God name your blessing? What will God name your blessing? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to be here at the well. God, I believe that you have a word that you want to deposit, and I pray that you will use me, use who I am, my experiences, my personality. God, my mouth is yours. Speak through me, God. I pray that there will be receptive hearts and that we will leave out of here with the understanding of what you are calling for us to do and to be as we move forward. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I need you to look at somebody around you, just a couple of people, and tell them God wants to bless you. Just tap somebody next to you. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. Now, it's funny, like we hear that and it makes us smile and it makes us feel good, but sometimes it's hard to believe that. And sometimes we go through stages and we go through phases of life where believing that God actually wants to bless us is difficult. I believe that it's difficult because sometimes we tend to think that God thinks the way that we think. And we believe that we need to earn our blessings. We believe that we have to do enough to deserve him to bless us because that's how we do other people. It's rare for us to just do things for other people without a reason or without a cause, or if they treated us badly or if they talked about us or whatever reason. But God doesn't operate the way that we do. We serve a God who wants to bless you. He wants to give you promises. He wants to bring that impossible thing that you thought would never happen. He wants to bring that into your life. But we tend to find ourselves in places of disbelief. Maybe somebody in here is similar to Abraham. This is a man of God. This is somebody that God is speaking to in an audible voice. They're having an actual conversation. And even Abraham is having a moment of doubt. Can I just tell somebody in here that sometimes having moments of doubt is okay? Because some of us, you know, we so saved that we don't want anybody to know that I might be struggling with my faith. I might be having a hard time of believing what God is saying or what he's trying to show me. It's hard to say that he can do that in my life. God, do you know me? Do you know my background? Do you know what I've been through? Do you know how much they've hurt me? Do you know where I've come from? People from my territory don't do this. God, is that really the door you want to open? I don't know if I believe that. We serve a God who doesn't care if you deserve it. It's not about you earning it. He gives things to us because he loves us. See, it's a powerful thing that love is. Love gives, and it can't help itself. Love shows itself, it manifests itself, it becomes real in the world through actions, typically actions of sacrifice, actions of giving. This is why the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is why in Romans 5:8, the Bible tells us that God commended, he gave his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners? While we didn't care nothing about him, while we were paying him no attention, while we had no desire to follow any path he had for us, he loved us enough to give his son. What kind of love is this? We serve a God who is willing to give to us, knowing a couple verses above that, in verse 6, it refers to us as being without strength. Another version of that says that we were basically unable to take care of ourselves. And in a situation where God knew these folks can't even take care of themselves, they don't even have enough strength to get out of this situation, they don't even know what to do to handle what's happening, God said, I love them so much, I will give anyway. So I want to take that pressure off. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. His love is given to you freely. If you're in this room and you don't know who Jesus Christ is, I'm just telling you that he is love. He's the definition of love. And he will give you a love like you have never had before. And you don't have to do a thing to deserve it.
That's right.
Yeah. Praise God. If I had to earn his love with the life that I've lived, God knows I have failed at that countless times. But it's because he said, all I can do is love, my son, in spite of your foolishness, in spite of your terrible decisions, in spite of your past, in spite of where you've come from, I don't care, because I have called you, I have anointed you, I have blessed you, I have poured out my love on you. And when you receive that type of love, it will change your life. Now here's the thing that caught my attention with Abraham, who is having a moment of doubt. But if you notice, his posture doesn't tell you that he's doubting. So from the outside looking in, the Bible says that Abraham fell to the ground on his face, which in all sense and purposes, we would see that as, oh, he's reverencing God. He's showing honor to God. He's receiving the word. No, he's laughing. Inside, the Bible says that he fell to the ground. But to himself, he laughed. Can I tell you that sometimes your posture does not determine your perception? That you can be on your face in front of God himself and still be laughing at the word that he just gave you. As if we can fool him. As if he doesn't know our hearts. As if he can't read our minds. As if I'm just going to keep this to myself. But God, I want you to feel like I'm still worshiping you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. But inside, how can this be? This is why it's important for us as Christians and as believers to not just extend our love to people based on the outer appearance.
Right.
Not based on how they look or how they're acting or how they're behaving. At our Beach Park campus, every single week we tell our volunteers, this has to be the best 2 hours of the life of every person that walks in this door. You have to love everybody. I don't care how they look. Do you realize in this room, somebody, you're beautiful. You sit here, you're smiling, you were clapping earlier. You seem to be happy, but I believe that there are women in this room right now. If we were to really be honest, you're dying on the inside. But your posture is not telling us that.
Come on now.
We can look at your posture and feel like everything in your life is going great. Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Oh, I'm doing well. Everything is good, but everything is not good. And if we were to go past your posture and get into your real perception, we would find out there are women in here who are struggling, who are having a hard time, who are having to make horrible decisions based off of this decision is bad, this decision is bad, which is the best of the two. There are ladies going through things sitting at your tables right now, and because their posture doesn't show it, you will walk right past them and not give them the love that they need today. This is why we ignore people's posture. We're going to love you anyway. Because I don't know what you're going through. We're going to hug you. We're going to high-five you. We tell folks, find somebody that you don't know. Find somebody who you don't even know their first name. Talk to them. Introduce yourself. Love them well before you go. That is a mission that every Christian has to have. Because a person's posture does not determine their perception. And as holy and as righteous as Abraham is talked about being in the book of Hebrews, he has this moment where what he's being told by God, he finds it hard to believe. But it's hard to get stuff past God. You may be able to fool the people around you.
Amen.
You can put your makeup on. Get your best dress out. Walk out, straighten your back, and hold your head up, knowing that you are depressed and insecure on the inside. And you can fool everybody all day long. But I'm telling you, there comes a time when you have to sit down with yourself and God and expose the real truth of where you are. Because that's the only place where God can really bring about a change in your life. Now, it says that Abraham bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. How can I be a father at the age of 100? And how can Sarah have a baby when she is 90 years old? He was even doubting for Sarah. He like, I know I'm old. Hey, she old too. He doubting for everybody. And it was comical to me is in verse 19, but God replied, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. And you will name him Isaac. Now, does anybody here know what the name Isaac means in Hebrew? He laughs. We serve a petty God, I'm convinced. There's a pettiness to him that I personally respect and love and enjoy. There are parts of the Bible that I read that make me laugh out loud. God did not miss a beat. He said, I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to make your wife a woman who kings are born to. Abraham laughs, and God is like, oh, that's funny to you. Matter of fact, name him Isaac. Because every time you call him, I want you to remind yourself of how you responded to me. Every time someone asks you what's your son's name, I want you to remind yourself that you laughed at my word. Every time you reach out and you're looking for your son and you're like, Isaac, where are you? Every time you call his name, I want you to remember how you responded to my word. And I'm here, ladies, to challenge you on how you respond to the word of God. When he gives you a promise, when he tells you a blessing is on the way, my question for you today is, what will God name your blessing? Because see, we laugh at Abraham. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's a little funny. Brother, he named your child after a moment of weakness.
Yes.
God knows your thoughts. He's paying attention. So much so that he said, I got something for you.
Okay.
I'm going to still bless you. Now look, as people, have you ever had something serious you wanted to tell somebody and they started laughing at you?
Yes. Yes.
Did it make you not even want to tell them what you was going to say? Or you give somebody a gift and they start laughing because they don't think it's serious, and it make you want to snatch it back. I get it to myself. God says, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm still going to bless you. I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to do exactly what I told you to do. But I am going to remind you of how you responded.
All right.
What would God name your blessing? I want every lady in this room to think about, what is the thing that you are praying? What is the impossible thing that you want God to do in your life? What is the word for some of you? You've received a word from God for something impossible, and he said, I'm going to do this for you. Put that in your mind and then ask yourself, when God does what he says he's going to do, because can I tell you something? If he said it, it's as good as done. You serve a God that does not lie. He said, I'm not like y'all. I can't tell a lie. God said, I'm so bad that I looked all over the world to try to find something greater than me to swear on, and I couldn't find it, so I just swore on my own self. You serve a God that when he says it, it's as good as yours. If he says the job is yours, I don't care what your boss says. God will move your boss out of the way and make you their boss to give you his promise. You serve a God that is willing to open up seas for you and walk you through on dry land to get to your promise. You serve a God who is willing to walk on the water himself to bring you a blessing. He is willing to heal you. He is able to open every door. It doesn't matter what looks to be impossible. God says that with him, all things are possible. So we know that to be true. If Abraham knew that his response was going to get his sons named, I think he would want a do-over. You ever just, God, can I just go back like two? I need like a 3-minute rewind. Let's do this over one more time. I didn't know you was going to name him that. I didn't know. God cares about your response. If you go into this passage and you read a little bit further, you find out that God is having this conversation with Abraham in front of the tent, and Sarah is actually in the tent. We call it ear hustling. She out there, she listening. She didn't leave the tent, but she in there like. Yeah. And the Bible says she laughed. She said, now look, y'all, I'm old. Am I supposed to still have pleasure in my old age? And the Bible says that God was like, why is Sarah laughing? And I'm sure she ran away from the edge of the tent. And she said, I didn't laugh. And the Bible says that God said, yes, you did. Yes. He's paying attention.
Yes.
He's listening, not to your outward appearance. The Bible says that he looks at the heart. He's watching how you respond in your heart. What is your mentality when he tells you, I'm going to do something for you? When he brings you a word, whether that's from a pastor or a friend at your table or from someone that you don't even know that have walked up to you and told you, God just said to hand you this message. What was your response? Would God name your blessing fear? Doubt. How would you like your blessing to be named she doubted? She was insecure. She didn't believe me. Too afraid to take the step. Unwilling to be uncomfortable. Refused to step outside of her box. I'm just giving you examples of names that could be given to your blessing. Not that God won't still do it.
That's right.
But if he chose to name it something that would remind you of how you responded to him initially, what would the name be? God told me to come to the well and to challenge you all because he wants to do some miraculous things in your lives. There are some prayers in this room that God has been hearing. He's been listening to. And you think he's forgotten about you. You think he's not paying attention. But Abraham was 99 years old. His wife had been barren for 90 years. And God says, I remember you. And when you think the time is over, why did he believe it was over? Because at his age, he's not able to have children. At her age, she's not able to have children on their own. And sometimes God wants to get you in a position where you have to recognize, I can't do this on my own. He wants to bless you, but he also wants the glory. So sometimes we get big-headed and think, well, I can just do this myself. I can go make that happen. And God says, go ahead. You're being bad enough to do it. Go ahead and try it for 90 years, and let's see how that works out. And when you finally give up on the dream and you say, I can't do it, I don't have the resources, I don't have the right people, I don't know where to go, I don't know who to talk to, God says, finally, now it's my turn. Give it to me. Give it to me. I am the God who can do all things. I hope this is increasing your faith, women of God, to know you serve a God who is able to do everything he has said, and whatever he has brought out of his mouth has to come to pass. And if I believe that God is who he says he is, and if I believe he has all power and authority in his hand, then when he gives me a word, I should respond like I know it's already done. I should respond in kind. This is why the Bible says to shout with a voice of triumph. But we ain't fought yet. Don't matter. If God told you to go to war, you might as well start celebrating now. You're supposed to start dancing now. You're supposed to start praising now. You're supposed to start cheering now. You're supposed to start setting up the date for the party now. Because it's just a matter of time before he brings it to pass. So for the ladies that are in this room, I'm challenging you, stop laughing and start praising. Stop doubting and start lifting him up and magnifying him. Stop waiting on things to look like how you think it should be, and know that God is going to bring it and turn it around in your favor. Do I have any women that have a promise over their life that don't mind praising God right now, even though it don't look like what I want it to be, God? It's not where I want it to be yet, Jesus. I don't see it, I don't feel it, but I know you're still working. I know you're still caring about me. I know you're still protecting me. Hallelujah. I have watched God do such amazing things in my life that now, at 44 years of age, I can look back over my life and I can connect dots. Things that I was praying for in my 20s that I thought God had forgot. And it's showing up in my 40s. And sometimes a no is not really a no, it's a not yet. I'm going to leave you with this story. Because sometimes the not yet is where we trip up. And it's where we walk away from God. And it's where we miss our blessing. And we miss the opportunity to walk in the space that he actually wanted us to be in, but we weren't yet ready. Abraham, yes, I could have given you this child 50 years ago, but you wasn't ready. Sarah, yes, we could have done this a long time ago. I'm the God of all things. I could have had you have 12 kids by now, but you weren't ready. I have a 6-year-old daughter named Naomi, and maybe 2 years ago, so she would have been about 4. She ran to a window, and she's looking outside. This snow galore. We got one of them wonderful Midwest snowstorms. And it's probably a foot and a half of snow outside, and she's like, Daddy, I want to go outside. I want to go outside. She runs to the door and starts opening. Girl, are you crazy? She got on some little shorts and a t-shirt. No socks, no shoes. I want to go play in the snow. Girl, that snow will kill you. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny. For real. Hypothermia is real. And if I was not a good father, I would open this door and let you out into it. But because I'm a father that has some common sense, and I understand that you are not yet ready.
Right now.
Girl, let the handle know. No, we're not going outside yet. But I want to come outside. Now, if you do that, you ain't never going outside. We don't do temper tantrums in this house. You'll be seeing outside at 17. That'll be the next time you're going to see outside. You'll be able to open the door and drive yourself to the park. But I told her, you can't just go outside. We got to get you ready. Go get your shoes. Go get your socks. I went and grabbed her coat, her hat, her gloves, her scarf. Because my child likes to lay out in the snow.
Yes.
Get your snowmobile pants too.
Right.
And it probably took us a good 20, 30 minutes to get everything on and to get her ready. Now she's impatient the whole time. Daddy, hurry up. I want to go outside. Daddy, my shoe. Anybody got kids that just frustrate you sometimes? Look, I'm not the only parent. My child be doing stuff and I'm like, son, Mr. Kimmel. We put all of her stuff on and she's all bundled up. And I walked her back to that exact same door that she was just asking me to go out of, not even 20 minutes. And now, that same environment that would have killed you 30 minutes ago, you can now go play in?
Right.
That same room that would have wiped you out, you can now go lead in? That same business that would have cost you your marriage 10 years ago, you can now go run it with authority and bring other marriages into it? Because sometimes it's not a no, it's a not yet. And if God decides to name your blessing after your response, ladies, my question for you as I end is, what will the name be? You're going to be having a table discussion in a few moments. And here's what I'm asking for you to do. I want you at your tables to ask each other that question. What is your blessing? For some of you, you may know exactly what God's word is. I want you to talk about it, make it real to other people. If you say, well, I haven't heard from God yet, but here's the blessing I'm praying for, make it real so that other people can pray with you. And if you're struggling today and your posture is not determining or showing your perception of where you are, can we be honest in this room? And let some other women around you know, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. My life is not where I thought it would be at this point. My kids are having trouble. My marriage is in danger. I need some help. I need somebody to love me. I need somebody to pray with me. That is what the well is about. It's about community. You do not have to do this by yourself. That's the power of the church. That's why God says in his word to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But even the more, as we see the day approaching, you need people around you. And you need to be able to share what's actually happened. Take the mask off. No need to fool anybody. We can't pray for you if we don't know you're hurting. We can't love you the way you need if we don't know that's what's happening. Can we be transparent in this room today, ladies? If you can be that, can you just say amen?
Amen.
All right, I love you all. I want to say thank you again for this opportunity. And you all, remember, God wants to name things. What will he name your blessing if it's based on your response?